ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 She gave me Hindi.
Would you put English marriage?
So I can translate into English?
I can get an English one now.
Okay. So it's partly English that we can speak. Hindi and English mixture.
Gujarati and Hindi.
Gujarati. But there are two who cannot understand either of that. So we have to mix up. This is called transcendental khichdi.
Three languages.
So, we'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 46. Contents of Gita summarized. This particular text is pretty important. Of course, every text is important. But those who do not know the absolute truth, which is one without second, how to achieve, it is lying in Vedic literatures. So Krishna is trying to summarize by telling Yavan artha udapanena sarvatah sampluto dake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. Yavan, all that artha is meant, udapane, in a well of water, sarvatah, in all respects, samplutodake, in great reservoir of water, tavan, similarly, sarveshu, in all, vedeshu, Vedic literatures, brahmanasya, of the man who knows the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahman, vijanataha, who is in complete knowledge. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All purpose is served by a small well, can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. It means most of the time we do not know the purpose of following a religion or any tradition that we may think. Everything is all right. But what is the purpose behind it? So Krishna is summarizing that all the purposes will be served in knowing the absolute truth, which is called Parabrahman. So we should not remain in little water or containing little knowledge and be contented. If we fail to know the absolute truth, then everything is useless. So whatever our belief system is, that has to be verified, whether it is giving us the absolute truth or not. Whatever we may be believing. So Srila Prabhupada writes a very good purport on this. The rituals and sacrifices mentioned in Karmakanda, division of Vedic literature, are meant to encourage gradual development of self-realization. A stepping stone may serve an initial purpose, but it is not the ultimate purpose. We must advance. We have to come out from a little well situation. Rather be contented or become puffed up by whatever little well we are dwelling in. Well is a small reservoir of water. Krishna says, then, sarvataha samplutodake. Everything will be satisfied in a big reservoir like an Atlantic Ocean. A frog in a little well, he thinks he knows everything. But when one visitor comes from the Atlantic Ocean and he starts telling him the glories of the Atlantic Ocean, then that little frog wants to measure the glory by his puffed upness, failing to know that everything is contained, all the reservoirs, little reservoirs are contained in the big Atlantic Ocean. How can you estimate the greatness within remaining in a small little content of the knowledge? So everything may be part, but they are stepping stone. We must advance, we must increase awareness of the Absolute Truth. If it fails to achieve us within our small belief system, it's useless. So, Vedic rituals and sacrifices are meant in Karmakand, division of Vedic literature, for the encouragement of gradual development of self-realization. And the purpose of self-realization is clearly stated in this 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Then, Vedaischa sarvai aham eva vedya vedanta krit ved videva chaham. Vedaischa sarvai, out of all the Vedic knowledge, what is the aim? Aham eva vedya. Krishna says, I am to be known. Why? Because Vedanta Krit, I have compiled the Vedas. Vedavit, I know the purpose of the Vedas. So, who can surpass this? If you know Krishna, you will know everything. Therefore, in the Vedas, this verse comes. If you know that personality, kasmin bhagavo, yasmin vigyatam sarvamevam vigyatam bhavanti, that will be coming. So, the purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Krishna, the primeval cause of everything. So, self-realization means understanding Krishna and one's eternal relationship with Him. Self-realization does not mean just to know the Self without the help of Krishna. It is impossible. Unless and until Krishna shows in the Vedic literature, through His perception, He imparts the knowledge to Brahma and Brahma speaks out the Vedas. But where does Brahma get the knowledge? So after all, ultimate cause of all the knowledge is Krishna. Therefore, He is called all-knower, omniscient. Because He is the resource. And if one knows that personality Himself and how to cultivate relationship with Him, so the flow of the eternal nectarian knowledge and devotion can be achieved. That is our eternal function. So one who knows that Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, he knows everything. He doesn't have anything else to be left out that will remain unknown to him. Nothing. The relationship of living entity with Krishna is also mentioned in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The living entities are parts and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Now, Krishna claims that every living entity, whether a human being or even an animal, what to speak of other living entities living in different kinds of bodies like trees. And let's say everyone is my part and parcel. But manashasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati, he has been pulled by the six senses, including the mind. Karshati means he has been dragged by the objects of sense gratification. So, he forgets himself. Karshati means if he is constantly dragged by the mind and the five senses, he is completely under illusion. He doesn't know what is happening to him. How he is dragged, pulled up by the sense objects. Any good advertisement and we immediately draw our attention. Or our attention is automatically drawn by, right? Something alluring. Oh, nice music is coming. Our ears will drag us. Something is nice smelling. Our mind will be dragged. All right? So in this way, all the senses and the mind itself is so much impetuous that it will keep on dragging our reality and keeps us in contact with the material nature. Means it will make us think even that we are made up of matter. Up to that much. So, but we are not matter. Krishna says, you are my part and parcel. You are mamaiva ansha. Ansha. The soul directly belongs to Krishna. So the character of the soul, ourself, is as good as the character of the Lord. But we are not the Lord. Because we are part and parcel. We are not the whole. Ansha. Ansha means very insignificant part. But still the quality of ansha is exactly the same quality of the whole. Take little gold and the piece of gold. A little fragment of the gold has the same quality as the piece of the gold. So it is like that. That divinity is being dragged, taken away, stolen away by the mind and five senses. Therefore, how much important it is to control the five senses. How much important is to control the sixth sense, number mind. Krishna says, if somebody has conquered his mind, controlled his mind, he will achieve me immediately, no delay. And we have to struggle. How to control the mind? Hare Baba, control the senses. How to control? Engage the senses in actual objects that will serve Krishna, because they are not meant for you and sense gratification. As long as one engages in sense gratification, he is going to be pulled away. Better he has to restrain. The senses have been given to us to acknowledge our reality. They are knowledge acquiring senses. And we think, oh, I have every right to enjoy. Then okay, you have every right to be bound up by Mother Nature. Then don't complain. So, at certain point, we have to come to the reality, and experiencing reality, we have to engage ourselves in the activities of reality. So, this is called the real life, because it keeps us in the realm of reality, not in fantasy, not in being dragged out, being punished in bondage. So, every sane person has to, you know, first of all experience the reality and then engage his senses in such a way that he will always remain in the reality and will never forget Krishna at any moment. Otherwise, he is keeping on forgetting on and off, on and off. Right now you are remembering, but as soon as you will go out, You check out, experience it. Oh, Krishna, wait, and let me drive first. Let me go and reach safely to the home, then I will remember you. We think like that. So, our lifestyle has been completely abnormal. It is real sickness. That is called bhavarog. Bhavarog means material existence of samsara, of repeated birth and death. But Krishna is reminding us that you are not this body. You are my part and parcel, and you have your eternal relationship with me, and you have eternal functionality with me. So better engage, you know, otherwise you are gone case. Don't complain. You have no right to complain. It is your mistake, you will have to pay for it. So only in human form of life we are able to get a chance that with the help of Lord Krishna we will be able to do the realization. Because he shows, if he doesn't say anything about himself even, we will never have any connection. So those who are atheists, the so-called material scientists, they don't have any faith. And they want to lead and give us a kind of false promises, blank checks, that in our lifetime we will eradicate cancer. In our lifetime, you know, we will do this, we will create life. And this, in our lifetime we will do everything, we will replace God. It is all superstition, there is nothing to... Hare Baba, in this lifetime you have not made even a little drop of pure milk from nothing. You have not made a mosquito even. What to speak? You have simply imitated a mosquito. They wanted to make a mosquito and they ended up in a helicopter. You know? They built a helicopter in order to make a mosquito. They can't make a mosquito. And look at the big mosquito. In Iraq, every day, one mosquito is killed. It fails so much. So anyway, Krishna is establishing that relationship with us. You know, the living entities are parts and parcel. Therefore, the revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge. It is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Third canto, 33rd chapter, 7th verse as follows. Aho batsva pacho gariyan yad jihvagre vartate namatubhyam te pas tapaste juhu shushnor arya brahmanu charam nam granantiyete. This is Queen Kunti is telling in the first canto. I'm sorry, third canto, in Queen Kunti's prayers. She says that, O my Lord, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family, like that of a chandal, a dog eater, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to the Vedic rituals and studied the Vedic literature many, many times after taking his birth. Or many times after taking his bath in the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered to be the best of Aryan family. A civilized person. A chandal who takes the holy name, he is best situated than one who simply, you know, become confused within the Vedic rituals. And so, whatever the little... knowledgeability of their belief system is, it is completely nullified by even a chandal if he is situated on a Vaishnava platform, on a devotee platform, one who chants the glories of the Holy Name. It doesn't require by this that a person should be only well-to-do, then and then he will have a chance to glorify the Lord. Oh, when the poor people are there, so much suffering, they are looking for roti, kapada, makan. And when they are looking all the time, where is the time for them to chant or remember? That's foolishness. It's such a nonsensical idea that anybody, even a person who is very poor, is dukhi, artharthi, one who is in want of money, or inquisitive, or jnani. Everybody comes to me. What is the restriction for those poor people who are suffering? And why do we have to take a wrong compassion on them? Better take the highest compassion on them by cultivating Krishna consciousness and then give them overall help. Not simply roti, kapda, makan. That is not going to solve your life. What about your control of the senses? Even I have, you know, experience while I was running an orphanage in Bharatpur, you know, the small kids who are orphans, they have high egos. High egos. Poor people, you know, even the kids. So you can imagine when a grown-up is there, how much ego can be falsified in him. The real thing is that impart the knowledge about the reality, which starts from chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Queen Kunti says that even a chandal, a dog-eater, he's an outcast. He's not considered to be the fourth class Shudra. He's called fifth class person in India. A chandal, a dog eater. He's not even considered Shudra. He's such an abominable person, they consider. To eat a dog? But if he chants Hare Krishna, Queen Kunti says that he has surpassed all the Vedic rituals and tapascharya and yajnas. He must have taken so many bath in holy places of pilgrimage already, simply by chanting holy name of Lord Krishna. Do you think she is wrong? Or she is too much puffed up and striking the ego of those so-called religionists who have little knowledge of little parampara or little, household affairs, that, oh, if I don't worship my Ishta Devata, there will be something coming bad to him. No, chant Hare Krishna and all the Ishta Devatas will be happy because they are subservient to the Master. They are not going to be insulted. You may be insulted because somebody struck that you may have done something wrong. No. Get up, rise up and progress towards the ultimate aim of the human form of life. There is no criticism. It's a proven fact. So cite the example and tell them, here it is. People are so much afraid, so much, as if they have committed something wrong. Now the purpose is to advance. If you get a direct process of advancement, why not take it? Why you have to go sidetracking? Gaon ki gali kuchi mein jane ki avashyakta kya hai? If you get a royal road, the highway, Prabhupada says that you have to reach to the highest. So there are staircases also going and at the elevator is going. Which one do you prefer? The elevator is given. Elevator is given, it is functioning. But no, I want to have an exercise. I want to have some sidetracking is there. It will be healthy for me. You never know, I don't trust the elevator. It might get stuck, you know, then nothing will happen to staircase. Oh, when the elevator stuck up, then they have to come down through the staircase, is it not? So no, we will call the repairman. Wait. How long we can get stuck up? You know? We will have somebody to guide us. Some, you know, means will be there. But why should we get down? You know? So the point is, the elevator is there, you should have at least reasonable faith. Because that same faith is also required in, you know, going step by step, you know. But how many steps? Do you know? It's unlimited. But that's why the elevator has been given. In Kali Yuga, elevator is necessary. And if somebody gives a direct process of chanting the holy name, take it. Because it's the conclusion of all the Vedic literature. And it is said the same by Lord Sri Krishna himself. So, Queen Kunti, she is the most intelligent woman, most liberated woman in the history of the world. You won't find such a liberated person. She is virtually liberated. Virtually liberated. She is not only, what we call, believing in women's lib. No. The real liberation, and she has shown by her character. Otherwise, can you imagine who can mess around with Durvasa Muni? Durvasa Muni, if slightest situation can anger him, she served Durvasa Muni while she was a child, you know, a growing up girl. For 4 continuous months that Durvasa came to spend the Chaturmasya, you know, the rainy four months of rainy season to her foster father's house. You know, she was adopted. She was adopted. You know, so she's called Pritha, right? She is called Pritha, Kunti. And she is coming from Kandahar, the Kabul. That is Afghanistan. That is her residence there. You know? So, Queen Kunti, she was given benediction. That she was given 6 mantras to call in the demigods. You know? Whenever she wants to. And she kept this as a secret. And when Pandu, her husband, was unable to conceive, then Pandu told, you got 6 mantras, conceive. By calling, invoking the demigods. So Suryadev came. Of course, Suryadev came before Queen Kunti wanted to try out herself. So Suryadev begot in her Karana, you know, and after she was married to Pandu. So the 5 left out, you know, demigods, they came subsequently. And she got Bhima and Arjun, but then she gave Madri, the other 2, you know, mantras. So she invoked Ashwini Kumaras and Sahadev and Nakul were born to Madri. So in this way, the divine providence was well fitting in the puzzle of, you know, the inherent from the divinity aspect, you know. But even though she had so many husbands, she is called Sati because they are benedicted that you will remain virgin. Even after begetting all these children, you will still remain virgin. So anyway, this is, she is speaking absolute truth. You cannot estimate The value of one who is rightly situated, samyak vyavasthiti. Therefore, it is possible for every worst of the sinner also to take up Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna approves that if he is rightly situated, means he should be resorting to his shelter alone. Api chet sudurācāro bhajate mām ananya bhāk sādhurevahi samyak vyavasoti saha. You should consider him to be sadhu. Because kshipram bhavati dharma, he will take up the righteousness very immediately. Svashachyantim nigacchati kaunte pratijani name bhakta pranashiti. A person apparently by his body and bodily nature may commit mistake or compulsive sinful activity. Regardless, when he is rightly situated, then he will soon become a very righteous person and will become a sadhu. So, don't ask what is the background of the sadhu. You never know, he may come from anywhere and you cannot derive him. You know? So, customarily, if we try to squeeze in, you are a failure in the Maya, that's why you took up. There must be some reason. What triggered you to come into Krishna consciousness like that? No. Because what is rightly situated, that we have to see. Therefore, when you want to examine a sadhu, better examine through your ears rather than by your eyes or any other situation. So one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas. Without being attached to the rituals only, one must not desire to elevate to the heavenly kingdom for better quality of sense gratification. It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals even. Nor it is possible to study all of the Vedanta and the Upanishad thoroughly. It requires much time, energy, knowledge and resources to execute the purpose of the Vedas. If you think that, I have to start learning and find out myself, that is impossible. Because in the beginning there was only one Veda. And why did Vyasadeva has to divide into four Vedas? Because he saw that one Veda is too difficult to be understood. So he said, let me simplify it. So four Vedas were there. Then still he got puzzled that this is not good enough. So he put up 108 Upanishads to show the absoluteness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he kept the Supreme Personality in disguise, so only in personal way, he exposes. But in Ishopanishad, he reveals, that here is the personality coming. So from that way onward, how to convince? Still different mentalities are there. So he started conducting, in the story forms and the Puranas. So 17 Puranas were conducted by him. And yet he was not satisfied. He wrote Mahabharata and some portion of the Ramayana that is also there in Srimad Bhagavatam as such to give the historical accounts also. And yet, he was not satisfied. So, his spiritual master Narad Muni came and he started inquiring, why you are so morose? What's wrong? He said, you please detect what's wrong, what I have done wrong. Then Narad Muni chastised him that you have not done any good for the welfare of the people. You have simply tried to provide them their sense gratification through this so-called Vedic knowledge. But you have not glorified the cause of all causes. So you have to create one more literature in which the glorification, which is simply transcendental according to the nature of the Lord, will be revealed. Then and then you can satisfy yourself. So Srimad Bhagavatam was the last thing that he did. You know, because it's the transcendental knowledge which is said to be the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. It has been given. So we see that all purposes of different Vedic branches, if it is being served by simply chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then why do you have to go through all the Vedic rituals and take up straight? Because in Kali Yuga, this is the only recommendation. But it will reveal the entire truth of the Vedic knowledge. That is the potency we have to experience in this lifetime. The holy name alone is so much potent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nama nama kari bahudha nija sarva shaktis tatrarvidam niyamita smaranena gala. My dear Lord, you have hundreds and thousands of names like Krishna, Govinda, Ram, so much. And in all these names you have invested all your energies. So individually any name with full potencies will be there. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction toward the holy name alone. The problem is with me, not with the holy name. The problem is with me. I have no taste, no ruchi, no aptitude to chant the holy name. That is called durdasha. Durdaivam idrasham iha janinanu raga. I have no attraction for the holy name, to chant even. Hum chuppi rakke dem mood band karke aise tight band ban jate. We think hearing is good enough. But what are we hearing? We are completely, you know, overwhelmed by other processes and thinking. You can't simply concentrate in hearing. You have to chant. You have to listen. And you have to remember. Three things will work simultaneously, and then it is possible that our senses will come in good standing. You know, people hear from here and out. That is one way of hearing. Oh, I went. I listened. But what? I don't know. Second thing, you may hear and keep it in the brain. Maharaj was talking like this. Let me see. How is it practical? How is it this? Baba, that is not going to work. Hearing should be done from ear into the heart. Bhavanti radhakarana rasayana katha. Tajyoshana vam apavargavartamani shraddharati bhaktir anukramashyati. And Kapil Dev says to his mother Devahuti that you will perceive my strength. Shraddharati bhakti anukramashyati. This is the process, and the process, when it fructifies in us, then what more realization you need? If it happens to you, you know, what more realization you need? It is direct perception. You don't have to simply read and contemplate and no. Perform the process. The proof is in eating. Not, and you look, that is not called proof. Taste it. It should be nectarian. So use your tongue to taste the holy name. Then put all other senses in the service and see how it works. Nama chintamani. Chintamani means it's like a stone which by simply thinking produces whatever we want. Simply by thinking it produces. Other stones are touchstones. You touch it and it turns into gold. Vaiduri mani, Shyamantak mani. Shyamantak mani was everyday yielding some portion of gold. That comes. There are so many different kinds of jewel. But this jewel is called Chintamani. Wish fulfilling. You wish it and it's fulfilling. Kamadhenu, Kalpavruksha. What is this? This is coming from the realm of a total identity in complete harmony with the Supreme Lord. Who is like that? If He fulfills the desire of whatever we want, and in His realm, nothing can be fulfilled. Everything is available. But we have to first cultivate the desire. What is that realm? Understand. Why do I have to go there in the first place? So these are the inquiries only an intelligent person can make. You know? So, intelligence is also there. Even in poor people who are suffering. But if they are overwhelmed by some shock, they simply have to calm down by chanting Hare Krishna. You know, if they need real help, then calm down and put them on the platform of reality rather than, you know, in so-called attachment that has destroyed their homes and this and that. But stabilize them. They are not dead. They are still breathing, living, and they should consider the mercy of the Lord that they have been saved. Now, don't put the mercy aside. With that same mercy, you know, by glorifying Him, that thanks for sparing my life, now, how can I serve you? Do you need anything to serve? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati. That is the service you can do. Can't you do that? But being overwhelmed by such catastrophic effect, they simply forget more and more. So what good it will be when you simply satisfy them by giving food? They will not be well situated. Rather, go along with, impart Krishna consciousness and then tell Him, this is God given. Accept this as prasada. And always remain thankful. Have patience and you will have a better life. But don't work hard in such a way that you will forget Him. He is the one who spared your life. Because you must have done some sukriti. You must have some obligation to yet fulfill. And that all obligation to the Lord, not to anybody else. So better chant out love. Develop love for Him. Otherwise, those who have perished, they are going to be born again. Jatasrehi dhruvam mrityam janma dhruvam mrutasya cha tasyat parihariyate tatraka paridevana. Krishna is telling that those who are born, death is certain, and for those who are dead, birth is certain. So, what is there to lament for? Whom? Is it not? So the idea is that we are trying to remind the soul, which is the animating the body. We have to help the soul calm and compose himself. He still has opportunity better. Okay? Glorify the Supreme. Never forget even this so-called trying circumstances. Help is available. You know? But they will take the help and make him God. And kick the God out. You know? Short-minded. They are simply relating their material life to be the only life. Means, if they are remaining ignorant, then who can help? So, ashradhanasya purushasya dharmasyanta paramtapa apraapnuvanti maam mrityu sansara vartamani. Those who do not have faith, they never come. They never come. And they simply come under the repetition of birth and death. They will not want to come. So never to preach them. Never to preach them. If they simply want roti, kapda and makan, then there are so many other agencies, Mayavadi agencies, they will say, okay, we will feed them. Feed them. When tsunami struck in Sri Lanka, we have this orphanage, 75 kids are still there and nicely becoming devotees. We fed so many, you know, plates of prasadam to them, you know, glorified for some time, and then they started wavering. And then so many agencies came, overwhelming, you know, relief was there, but they are still suffering in the muck of Maya. The kids, 75 kids, so 75 kids, if they become devotees, they will go and glorify the Supreme Lord very nicely. So, this is hardly possible in this age. We should not go to the individually cling to the Vedic rituals and regulations or study, and you know, it is very difficult in this age. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by a great Vedic scholar, Prakashananda Saraswati, why the Lord was chanting the holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist instead of studying the Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that his spiritual master had found him to be a great fool and thus asked him to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Can you imagine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, previous to taking up the holy name, he was a teacher of logic, grammar and nyaya. He was a very well reputed, you know, teacher. Not only that, nobody could defeat him in the debates. And Sanskrit grammar or logic, or people would come and try to, you know, put up a competition in order to establish. At that time, Navadvip was the seat of learning, like Nalanda and Takshashila. Navadvip was also considered for the spiritual knowledge. And great, great scholar will come all over from India and to defeat the pandits there. So, the pandits were very much afraid of one Keshav Kashmiri, and he came. So they thought, why don't we tell this little Nimai to do? And suppose if Nimai will be defeated, what a big deal. He's a big man, this is a small boy. If somebody, a big person, defeats a small boy, then there is no shame. But if we go and if we are defeated, and we are sure to be defeated, so I think there will be a lot of prestige lost. But if the small boy is getting defeated, then No problem. And suppose if he wins, then we are glorified ourselves too, that we are a big people here. Even a small boy from our town can defeat anybody. You know? So this was their ahankar. So Keshav Ghasmiri came and had to debate with the small Nimai. The Nimai Pandit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name was Nimai, you know. And this Nimai, said, okay, you start. So the Ganges is flowing there. So the Keshav Ghasmiri, recited so many slokas in glorification of Ganges, you know. And then he was looking at Nimai. Now what? He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nimai said, are you done? He said, yes. I said, this number sloka and that number sloka that you spoke, there are mistakes. He said, yeah. I said, what do you mean by mistakes? I never make any mistake. He said, yes, you spoke like this. What is the meaning of it? And Keshav Ghasmiri says, well, this word means like this, and that word means... He says, no, check in the dictionary. And poor, Keshav Ghasmiri started looking in the dictionary and failed. I said, see? You think you are a great scholar? Huh? Actually, Mother Ganges, she is coming from, she has been emerged from the toenail touch of Vaman Avatar, that is tomorrow. Tomorrow is Vaman Dev's Avatar. So, Ganges, she is coming from Virja. And because the second step that Vaman Dev, covered the entire universe and penetrated the Virja by his toenail, she started flowing. So where she would go? She is called Swaradhanya. She is purifying the Swargaloka. Without her going through Swargaloka, Swargaloka would not be having high esteem. And then said that because she is the only purifying agent, and King Bhagirath was trying to call her because to secure his forefathers, thousands, they've been turned into ashes by Janu Muni. So Lord Shiva has to be pleased by him, and he got ready to withhold the force, because she told to Bhagirath, if I ever come to the planet Earth, I will go straight to Patal Loka. It is that great force she was coming from all the way. So, who is their personality that will hold the force of me? Then Bhagirath consulted the devatas and says, Lord Shiva will be. So he has to please Lord Shiva and invite him. And he did it. So, the point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying Ganga, and he made so many other verses. And Keshav Ghasmiri was struck with wonder, and he fell down at his lotus feet. So, in this way, Nimai Pandit, he was a great scholar, But he gave up his scholastic aptitude. He was teaching, he was running his own school, but he gave up and took Harinam and told all his students, chant Hare Krishna, and that's it. So, from that day, his school was closed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is the mission of my life. And Prithvite ache sarvatra nagaradi gram prachar behoi bimurana. as many towns and villages are there on this planet Earth, my holy name will be sung there, everywhere. That is his prediction. And you can see how it has come to this Patal Loka too. It's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You know? So, he said, Nam Namakari Bahudhani Ja Sarva Shaktis. My dear Lord, you have hundreds and thousands of names. In each and every name you have invested all your potencies. Bhagwan ki shakti Bhagwan ke naam mein hai. Uska hum kaise pehchan kare. To naam seva batai gayi. नहीं तो हमारी इंद्रियों को भगवान के नाम की शक्ति है और भगवान के नाम लेने की भी इच्छा नहीं है और जीभ बिल्कुल खुलती नहीं, मुंह बंद करके बैठे रहते हैं. लोग हरे कृष्ण का मैं सुनती हूँ बहुत हो गया. नहीं नहीं, ओपन योर माउथ एंड चांट हरे कृष्ण एंड बिकॉज यू हैव टू एंगेज योर सेंसेस. इसलिए श्रीमद् भागवत में भी कहा कि अतः कृष्णस्य नामादि न भवेत ग्राह्यम इंद्रिय. भगवान श्री कृष्ण का नाम का कोई भी महत्व अपनी इंद्रियों से परे हैं, इनके बस में नहीं है. लेकिन एक सुझाव दिया गया है, सेवनम मुखे ही जिह्वादो स्वयं स्फुरत्यम एवाद्य. इफ यू स्टार्ट सर्विंग द होली नेम from the tongue and engage all other senses. Jihva, though, in the beginning should be jihva. And adava means first the tongue, ear, mind. Everyone has to be engaged in the service of the holy name. So when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the beads, what will you say? See, these beads are there. When you chant, you have to see that I'm chanting one Maha Mantra on one bead only. So keep your eyes open just to observe. Right? Don't close. Then probably 3-4 round nikal jayenge. So, chant. Keep your eyes open. Let the eyes serve in chanting process. Let the ear serve by proper hearing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Listen by ear. Don't listen like that. Always. When I say Hare Krishna, then everybody sounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Alright, the sparshendriya, you have to chant on beads. Oh, why beads? Main to man mein karta hoon. I do in my mind. Why? Who said that? Nobody has told that chant in your mind. You have to engage your senses. So, you have to hold it. Mala pakadni padegi. Arre mala to bude log pakadte hain, jawan log, hum to... Sharam aati hai kya? But there are so many youngs. Hey, dekho, sabko mala pakadate hain. अरे माला पकड़े तो स्पर्शेंद्रियां भी तो काम में लगेगी भगवान के नाम में. इट विल एंगेज राइट. देन तुलसी ओ हरे कृष्ण भगवान की तुलसी, ये तुलसी सेवा कर रही है तो तुलसी की गंध होती है मेडिसिनल. अरे तुलसी तो बहुत अच्छी है, अब टूथपेस्ट में तुलसी होती है, अब चाय तुलसी की बनाते हैं पीते हैं. अरे बाबा तुलसी तो सेवक है, उसको क्यों पिए. तो स्पर्श इंद्रिया, घ्राण इंद्रिया, दृष्टि, पांचे पांच इंद्रियां भगवान के, और तब देखो मन कभी भागेगा नहीं। ये पांच दरवाजे में से कोई भी खिड़की में से भाग जाता है जो यदि एंगेज ना करोगे। बाद में कहते हम तो कब से कितने सांस से हरी बोल करा करते हैं लेकिन मन ठिकाने ही नहीं रहता, कैसे ठिकाने रहेगा। कभी माला की है ठीक ढंग से, जिस ढंग से बताया जाता है वो ढंग से करते नहीं तो क्या होगा, फायदा ही नहीं। बट रिगार्डलेस हाउएवर यू चांट, कोई नियम नहीं है, कोई बाध नहीं है। कम से कम भगवान का नाम जो लेता है ना उसे मुक्ति की गारंटी होती है, लेकिन प्रेम की गारंटी नहीं होती। इसीलिए तो चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने कहा कि धर्म अर्थ काम मोक्ष चार पुरुषार्थ करके क्या मोक्ष के बाद भक्ति शुरू होती है, उस तो पांचवा तो बाकी ही रहा, तो कैसे दिया जाए। तो भगवान के नाम में इतनी शक्ति है तो मिल सकता है। So he said there are two different kinds of names of the Lord. One name which is pertaining to this material creation and his progress is there. तो ये material creation से निकलवा सकता है लेकिन भगवान के साथ का अंगत संबंध, उसकी personality और उसमें जो लीला का व्यवहार है उनका, you know, the performance of the gift, they are the primary names. Because the leelas are always lovable. So who can afford the love? The primary names based on the leela. Hare Krishna mein, toh hum jo Bhagwan ke naam gaate hain na, toh seedhe primary names hi hote hain. No secondary names. Allah tero naam, Ishwar tero naam nahi bolte hain hum log. तेरो होते कौन, कृष्ण, तथा तो हम कृष्ण क्यों ना बोलो, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। इति षोडशकम् कलिकल्मषनाशनम् परतरोपाय सर्व वेदेषु न दृश्यते। सारे वेदों में इनके अलावा इनका बढ़िया, इनसे बढ़िया या बरोबर वाला उपाय कोई नहीं दिखा। So it is one and only, और वो यही कलयुग में काम करेगा, दूसरे कलयुग की चिंता मत करना अभी से, शायद ये मंत्र नहीं मिलेगा, वो उल्टा मिलेगा, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे, क्योंकि ऐसा लिखा है। ये तो चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने उल्टा कर दिया, क्योंकि चैतन्य महाप्रभु और कृष्ण भगवान दोनों विशिष्ट रूप से 1000 चार युगों की साइकिल में एक ही बार आते हैं, यानी कि कलयुग तो 999 बाद आएगा, तब हमें ये नहीं मिलेगा। दिस इज द करेक्ट वर्जन मेंट फॉर दिस पर्टिकुलर योगा बाय चांटिंग हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। लेकिन यजुर्वेद में जो दिया है ना वो हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण वैसे अंतर तो कोई नहीं है, आगे पीछे अभी कोई सवाल नहीं है, समझ क्या है उसका ही सवाल है। कोई लोग रामचंद्र के लिए राम बोलते हैं लेकिन राम तत्व जानते नहीं, राम तत्व जानते नहीं, हरा शब्द का भी कोई अर्थ नहीं कर सकता ठीक ढंग से। लेकिन जब ये राधा रानी को लागू होता है तो रामचंद्र जी को क्यों लागू होगा, हरा शब्द राधा रानी को उद्देश्य करते हैं। कृष्ण भगवान के जो शब्द की व्युत्पत्ति है ना, तो कृ धातु और न धातु दो है, there are two seeds in the holy name Krishna. Kru, the element Kru means all supportive element, and Na means all blissful element. All supportive means all attractive, and all blissful is in one name. So, what is about this Ram? Ramchandra Maryada Purushottam is not invoked here. Because it is already embedded in the holy name of Krishna. Ram means all blissful. Ramanti yoginaha satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenasho parabrahma vidhiyate. This is in Padma Purana. Parabrahma ka anandayak vachak naam ko Ram kehte hai. To parabrahma to ek hi hote hai. Do thode hote hai. To Ramchandra maryada purushottam banke kyun aaye? So you have to dig into the correct understanding of the mantra. Dusre mantra Bhagwan Krishna ke hi naam ke honge, par phir bhi they will not be effective because we are not qualified. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva itana sida sada mantra hai. Main Bhagwan Shri Krishna ko namaskar karta hun jo Vasudev ke bete hai. Par wo to Dhruv Maharaj ko diya tha Satya Yuga mein. इस युग में तो ये मंत्र है, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र है. और चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने विशिष्ट ये सारी जो झंझट ये उल्टा ये कोई रामचंद्र को लगाते हैं. अरे भैया परशुराम भी तो राम है, बलराम भी तो राम है, तो राम शब्द का कोई तत्व नहीं जानता. तो चैतन्य महाप्रभु नहीं, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम. ये हरा शब्द और राधा रानी को जो लागू होता है, she is the enjoying potency. Bhagavan Shri Krishna ki enjoying potency to Radharani hai. Aur Radharani ko pukarne ke liye hame bolna padta hai, Shri Ram Radhikaya Namaha. Abhi pata chala Ram shabda kisko lagu hota hai? Radharani. Radharani, she is covering Krishna for the total enjoyment. तो आठ बार हरा शब्द है, चार बार कृष्ण शब्द है, चार बार राम शब्द है. तो हु इज मोर प्रेडोमिनेंट इन हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र? राधा रानी. इसीलिए राधा कृष्ण की सेवा होती है, राधा कृष्ण को अलग नहीं कर सकते. अकेले कृष्ण भगवान के पास जाना असंभव है, असंभव. सो हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र और राधा कृष्ण की सेवा आइडेंटिकल बन जाती है, सही? सो व्हेन वी कम टू दैट कंक्लूजन, चैतन्य महाप्रभु थ्रू अवे ऑल द स्कॉलेस्टिक एप्टीट्यूड दैट ही हैड एंड एक्सपर्टाइज एंड जस्ट एक्सेप्टेड the holy name, and he simply chanted and showed the ecstasy of the highest realm of loving Godhead in separation. So, what do you need more for Vedic conclusion? It's simply available in nutshell in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And see the potency. Prithvi Deyache Sarvatra Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachabri Murana. So, Srila Prabhupada is writing that Prakashananda Saraswati was asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master had found him to be grateful. Mere guru ne mujhe mahamurkh samjha. To murkh hai na, isliye Vedant nahi pad sakta. Better hai Hare Krishna Mahamantra karaga. So he was retorting Prakashananda Saraswati, who was so much emphasizing to study Vedanta. Oh, sannyasi have to study Vedanta. Sannyasis have to study Vedanta. That is Mayavadi philosophy. Adi Shankara, Shankaracharya, started this. So they accepted Vedanta philosophy, and Vedanta, they chew it up like anything by grammatical word jugglery, and conceive different, you know, ideologies from it, so much so that they become God themselves and replace. Advaita, I am God. Aham Brahmasmi, because I can churn my brain like anything to become God. That is wrong. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching this Prakashananda, who was commenting that the sannyasis should study the Vedanta. Why are you becoming so much sentimentalist and show your bhakta when you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Guru mujhe murkh dekhi leya shasan karila. My Guru Maharaj thought that I was a fool, that's why he chastised me. Shashan kara. Chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Fool, you do not know anything about Vedanta. But actually, Vedanta's conclusion, Vedoka ant, Vedaischa sarvai, aham eva vedya. Vedanta krit. Vedoka ant. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Prakashananda Saraswati became speechless by the humility. And he was so attracted that ultimately he converted himself into a Vaishnava. And he told all his followers, let's join chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And this way, the entire Varanasi, at that time, which was the seat of Mayavadi philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted them. So, he did so and became ecstatic like a madman. In this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in the Vedic version, and the author of the knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna. And the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism. So, yavanartha udapane sarvata samplutotake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. If we know the Supreme Personality of God, have relationship, and always engage in His service by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and dovetail all our propensities to serve Him, that is the culmination of the life, which is eternal in nature. Other things are not at all eternal. They are so temporary, and yet they want to profess that they are something else. You know? So in this way, we can see that there are so many ill-conceived ideologies in Hindu philosophy. They think, this is it. And everybody is so much divisively glorifying themselves that they can never unite. They can never unite. You try, Vishwa Hindu Parishad is trying to bring all on the same platform, but they will all glorify themselves and they can't meet the conclusion. We have practical experience, I tell you. United Nations conducted this World Congress of Religion, year 2000, right? ISKCON was also invited. Actually, I just removed Baba Jain's letter to me because I represented India ISKCON at that time. Incidentally, I was going during that time to USA, so, and I come from USA, but I represented India, you know. So, we have one, our colleague from Russia coming. And Russia, you know, government was giving hard time, and they are still giving hard time. So, all the sadhus of India were having a preliminary rehearsal of how to act there, what to think about, because we are so much variegated. There are Nagababa Akhadas and these Akhadas, they all want to come to America. So Anjali Pandya, she is a secretary of Vishwa Hindu Parishad in USA, and they are good friends of mine, and she was there. It was so funny. That we noticed two things in the preliminary itself. That Venkat Raman, he was the ex-president of India, he was chairing, and this preliminary meeting was conducted in Rishikesh, in Swami Dayananda's ashram, you know, Ashvidya Gurukulam, that is his. So we went there. The conference was for 2 days, and it was a concluding day. But nobody gave Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, my colleague who wanted to present the Russian aspect. Nobody allotted any time for him to speak. And then we had to do a little lobbying. We pulled out, you know, a few people whom we were very close, and took him aside. And here he is coming all the way from Russia. There is no other foreign, you know, representative that is going to attend. How come when you are inviting and not giving time, and these people are simply flabbergasting themselves? What is the purpose? They were just glorifying only, you know, Vedanta Society and this society, the Ramakrishna Paramahams. They are the only one. They said, we can represent. They were trying to pull each other's, right? And nobody wanted, you know, to see what is this situation in Russia. So somehow or another, they feel ashamed. And gave 5 minutes, last 5 minutes, for Bhakti Vigyan to speak. He's a Russian devotee, but speaks nice English. And he was given chance, and everybody was appreciating what ISKCON was doing. But not until he was given a chance to speak, you know. So when he started speaking, you know, everybody paid so much attention because he started blasting. He said, where were you guys, all this stalwart Hindu philosophy, when we were in jail and concentration camp? It was President Reagan, and during 1986 that we were released by his mercy, so we can execute religion, freedom of religion. But do you know that 15 years from, so that was in 86 and now it is 2000, within 15 years, when we were given opportunity to spread Hindu Dharma, we distributed 1 crore Bhagavad Gita, and everybody started clapping. Ha ha ha, wah wah, 1 crore Bhagavad Gita in Russia alone. You know, we have 150 centers and over 500,000 people following. And, oh, everybody glorified him so much. Now what? So, why can't Indian government help us? We want to build a temple. Why don't you guys, you know, help us unanimously? What is the point of unity? You are all glorifying yourself, and we are not talking of any unity. And we are coming for a genuine cause for representation in world parliament, and you are all trying to just keep your own colors. Where is the common background or common platform that we can unite and present our case? Christians are ready to convert everybody. Huh? They say, yeah, you are right. But what is this? And Anjali Pandya, she sometimes acts like a joker. You know? She was the last one, and that really puts us off like anything. Because most of these delegates were going to be hosted in New York, a World of Astoria hotel. It's the A grade number one. And the sadhus are going to go too. So she was worried. This sadhu will do some dhuni, will set a fire and fire alarm will go. and this sadhu will wash his kopin and hang it outside the window. And you know, this kind of, and she started, please don't do this thing. So she has given the whole list of not to do in America. Otherwise it will cut off our nose. I mean, what is this? You know, we were not ready. Even though about 375 sadhus went to attend him, and there was totally a disharmonious. You know, there was a whole cooked up plan by the Christians, because in that same year, Pope Paul, at that time, you know, Benedict, he came to India in January, and this happened in April, and we were supposed to be there in the August in New York. So when he came in January, he openly declared in Delhi, then in the first millennium, we conquer. He said, we conquer the Europe. In the second millennium, we conquer Africa and South America. Now in the third millennium, we are going to reap the harvest in Southeast Asia. All right? And that's why this conference was being held and put entire onus on, you know, religion to take. Under freedom of religion, they were granting so much money, so they can easily get converts. Then there was also remove the poverty, remove the pollution. Baba, what the sadhus have to do pollution? Huh? And at the same time, they declared in United States, even Kofi Annan, he said, we failed to bring peace and unity. All right? We failed. Now it's only up to the religious leaders, because you hold all the population under you. So we are giving you the onus to resolve this issue. Oh, so much controversy, so much, you know. It was a show without any result. They did resolution well ahead of the conference even. Simply it was meant for signing. It was well cooked up plan. Alright? So it was a pathetic situation to see. And the Indian delegation of 375 people, they were never given chance to speak. Vishwa Hindu Parishad was upside down, because they are in the blacklist of other religions. All right. Those who have paid money, they were allowed to speak on the podium. That's such a fiasco. So we can understand, you know, this disunited situation, even amongst our Hindu hodgepodgeism. It's really devastating. Because there is no common ground for them to come and unite, even though it is the same Sanatana Dharma. You know? So the idea is that Prabhupada, he wouldn't participate in this. He said, no, our situation, when there is emergency, when there is fire, even though you do not know the language of anybody, you better call for the help and the help will be there. So, the religion is on fire. And we have to take up. Because otherwise, if we can't make the best use of our whatever good intelligence we have, you know, a great havoc is going to be there. It's not in our hand. The second generation, third generation in India, the IT graduates, oh my God, they are so much blinding. But at the same time, those who are coming in contact with ISKCON, they are taking up the process. So, great situations, because we are exposing. You know, recently, somebody posted me an article about John McCulley. He was one of the British parliamentarians who came to India, you know, in early times. And he gave a declaration that if we have to conquer and rule India, then we must break the real now system. And that is their deep down faith in the religion. So whatever this Mayavad and other thing which is proliferating, it is the dividing and rule policy within the religion, and nobody gets together. It is their thing. And every Indian should know it. If you have email, I will send you. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was the champion that he had good friends in the English society during that time. With their help, he got educated in English. And he was the first one used English to preach the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and send the life and precept of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in McGill University, Canada, in the year when Prabhupada was born. And he forecasted, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, that soon there will be a personality who will be able to spread. And he was conceiving the Mayapur, you know, ideology. Nityananda Prabhu conceived the Adbhuta Mandir, you know, so much so. So what we are trying to put as a historical evidence, and there is a history waiting for us to participate. So those who chant the holy name of the Lord, they have directly, you know, observed all the rules and regulations of Karma Kanda and even Jnana Kanda, even purified himself hundreds of times in the holy waters. Those yad jihvagre vartate namatupyam, on whose tongue Lord Krishna's holy name is always sung. Vartate means existing. The holy name must manifest on the tongue. That is called Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Any question or comments?
So is there any hope for unity and diversity?
There is always diversity. Diversity is a different connotation. Those who have diverted against the central point of the Absolute Truth, how can there be any unity with them? The diversity means a variegatedness in the Absolute Truth itself. As for example, Krishna is said to be rasovaisaha. Rasovaisaha means he remains in the center and all different rasas that are emerging from him, all living entities can take it. But love of Godhead, which is the nectarian rasa, that has to hold. You may like it little tartness in the mango juice. Somebody will like more flavorful. So these are variegatedness. But regardless, it should be rasa. It should be the relationship. It should be the loving relationship established with the Supreme Person. So then unity will be there. Diversity means diversified variegatedness of the Absolute Truth. Everything is not Absolute Truth. Mayavadi is not Absolute Truth. Impersonalism is not Absolute Truth. It is partial. Absolute Truth means full conviction. Srila Prabhupada is very clear. Yesterday we spoke about his lecture in 1969 during Radha Ashtami Day, and he clarifies this. Want to bring the computer? I'll just read it. And you will see, you know, what Srila Prabhupada is meaning. So much targeted point. You know. Vadanti tattva vidastattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. The Absolute Truth is known in three phases. Impersonal Brahman or Brahmajyoti, which is the target for the jnanis. Paramatma means the target for the yogis who simply meditate within their hearts the two lotus feet of the Lord, but still they don't have full relationship with Him. It's only the devotees, the personality of Godhead, will be worshipped by them to realize both. So fullest realization of the Absolute Truth will be in the personality aspect. When you are chanting the holy name of the Lord, it is not impersonal. You are calling out a specific person, the specific Absolute Truth personality of Godhead, who is the summum bonum. Who is the summum bonum?
So then, Maharaj,
yeah.
What should our, we're ISKCON, what should our approach or our relationship be with other faiths, other religions?
Be friends with them. But give them an encouragement so they can advance. We don't criticize. They are stepping stone. But stepping stone doesn't mean, you know, they have gone now. Give them opportunity to develop love. You know? They can't love demigods because they are functionaries. You know? You cannot build relationship with them. You can build relationship only with Krishna. Because He is the Supreme Person. The demigods are servants. They are not independent. Right? So, if we all worship the Father love him, then all brothers have unity. There is something common for them. An impersonalist is envious of the personality. Do you think he's a different variety? No. The Lord may recognize, we recognize them, but how the unity will be performed? As long as there is enmity with the Supreme Father, then there cannot be any unity. Okay, here we go. Radharani. This was in 1969 when Prabhupada went to London. Okay. So let me read Srila Prabhupada. Was talking about okay. So Krishna is Parabrahman. As you know from the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna understood Bhagavad Gita, he affirmed Krishna Param Brahma Param Dhamam Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. So Krishna is Parabrahman. So in this material world we see that a great saintly person simply to enjoy Brahmananda, he gives up everything of material enjoyment. He becomes sannyasi, aham brahmasmi, just to understand that he is Brahman realized. So, if one has to give up everything material for Brahman realization, do you think that Parabrahman, the Supreme Brahman, can enjoy anything material? No, Krishna's enjoyment is nothing material. This point should be understood. For Brahman realization, we are giving up everything material. Right? And how to, how the Parabrahman can enjoy anything material? This question has been very much nicely discussed by Jiva Goswami. So when Parabrahma, first of all, Parabrahman information is not there in this material world. Little Brahman information is there. Or little Paramatma information is there, but not Parabrahman or Bhagavan information. Therefore, it is said, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschidatati Siddhet. Out of thousands of people, one can hardly know me in truth. Siddhet means understand Brahman or Paramatma. But out of many such persons who have realized Brahman or Paramatma, hardly a person can know Krishna. And that, first of all, we can understand about Krishna's pleasure potency. If I want to know some big man, that is one process. And without knowing the big man, how can I understand about his internal affairs? Okay? Similarly, if we do not understand Krishna, how can we understand how Krishna is enjoying? That is not possible. But the Goswamis, they are giving us information as the pleasure potency of Krishna. That Srimati Radharani is. So we have described about Radha Krishna loving affairs in our teachings of Lord Chaitanya in page 264. And if you got this book, you can read it. How the reciprocation of loving affairs of Radha and Krishna is there, transcendental. So our today's prayer to Radharani, we pray to Radharani because she is the pleasure potency of Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. But Radharani is so great that she attracts Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. And she is attractive or the attractor of Lord Shri Krishna. So what is the position of Srimati Radharani? We should try to understand this day and offer our obeisances to Sri Radharani, Radha Vrindavaneshwari. Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. So Radharani is Hari Priya, very dear to Krishna. So if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through the mercy of Radharani, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends that this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however full I may be. Because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore in Vrindavan, you will find the devotees who are chanting more Radharani's name than Krishna's. And you will still find that Vrindavan, there are glorifying Radharani. That's more interesting. So if you go by the speculative process of understanding Krishna, it will take many, many lives. But if you take devotional service, just try to please Radharani. And Krishna will be gotten very easily. Because Radharani can deliver Krishna, she can. She is so great devotee, the emblem of Mahabhagavat. Even Krishna cannot understand what is Radharani's quality. Even Krishna, although he says, Vedaham Samatitani, I know everything. Still he fails to understand Radharani. Radharani is so great. He says that. Actually, Krishna knows everything. In order to understand Radharani, Krishna accepts the position of Radharani. Krishna wanted to understand the potency of Radharani. Krishna thought that I am full. I am complete in every respect. But still, I want to understand Radharani. Why? This propensity made by Krishna obliged to accept the propensities of Radharani to understand Krishna himself. These are, of course, very transcendental great science. One who is advanced in Krishna consciousness and well conversant with the Shastras, they can understand. But still, we can discuss from the Shastra. When Krishna wanted to understand himself, he took the tendency of Srimati Radharani, and that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvilitam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he has accepted the propensities of Radharani. As Radharani is always in feelings of separation of Krishna, similarly the position of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya was feeling separation of Krishna. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, feeling of separation, not meeting. The process of devotional service is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciplic succession is how to feel separation from Krishna. That is Radharani's position, always feeling separation. The Goswamis, they also, when they were in Vrindavan, they never said that I have seen Krishna. Although they were the most perfect, they never said that I have seen Krishna. Their prayers were like this. He Radhe Vraja Devike, He Nanda Sunokata, He Radhe Radharani, He Radhe Vraja Devike cha. Radharani does not remain alone. She remains always with her friends. Vrajadevi, Lalita, Vishakha and other damsels of Vrindavan. So the Goswamis are praying in their mature state. when they were living at Vrindavan, they were praying in this way. He Radhe, Vraj Devi Kechat, He Nanda Sunokutaha. Where Radharani, where are you? Where are your associates? Where are you, Nanda Suna, the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna? Where are you all? They are searching after. They never said, I have Krishna dancing with the gopis. Last night I saw. So that is Sahajiya. This is not mature devotee. This is so-called Sahajiya. They take everything cheap. Krishna is very cheap. Radharani very cheap. And if they can see every night, no, Goswamis do not teach us like that. They are searching after, Hey Radhe Vraja Devi Ke Chaladite, Hey Nanda Sunakuta, Sri Govardhana Padapadatale Kalindi Vanekuta. So are you under the Govardhan hill or in the banks of Yamuna? Kalindi Vanekuta, Goshantau Iti Sarvato Vajapure, Kedein Mahavevalo. Their business was crying like this, where are you Radharani? Where are Lalita, Vishakha, the associates of Radharani? Where are you, Krishna? Are you near the Govardhan hill or on the bank of Yamuna? Goshantau iti sarvato vrajapure. So throughout the whole tract of Vrindavan, they were crying and searching after them. Kheder mahavibhalo. As if madmen. Kheder mahavibhalo. Vande rupa sanatan raghu igau shi jivu gopalako. These are the six Goswamis. So we have to follow the footprints of Goswamis. How to search out Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan or within our heart. That is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhajan, feeling separation, vipralamba, vipralamba seva. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feeling separation of Krishna, he was falling down in the sea, he was coming out of his restroom and bedroom and going out in dead of night. You know, nobody knew where he was going. So that was his preaching. This process of devotional service taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not that very easy. We have seen Krishna or seen Radharani in Rasa Leela. No, not like that. Feel the separation. The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you are advancing. Don't try to see Krishna artificially. Be advanced in separation feeling and then it will be perfect. That is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Because of our material eyes, we cannot see Krishna. Atah Krishnasya namadina bhavit grahim indriyehi. With our material senses, we cannot see Krishna. We cannot hear about Krishna's name. But sevanam mukhe jivado. When you engage yourself in the service of Krishna, where the services begin? Jivado. The service begins from tongue, not from the legs, eyes or ears. It begins from the tongue. Sevanam mukhehi jivada. So you begin service with your tongue and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. You know, take prasadam. Don't go without prasadam. Hare Bhav. Yeah, so Prabhupada ki
jai.
So very conclusive, you know. So we have to understand what is this diversity. Diversity is in variegatedness of the taste of Krishna prayer. That will be alright. Those who do not even come in, to be equal platform on the thought, where is the question of practice? Nothing is equal. Tunde, tunde, matir vinna. Every khopadi has a different thought. So these are all useless political agendas and that being done in the name of. So there is a great danger that if we miss the opportunity to develop love of Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna, that's a we missed so much. We are in great loss. उनको सबको प्रसाद थोड़ा दे देते हैं प्रसाद लेकर जाइए और ले लिया अच्छा अच्छा
What's the significance of the 108? Like, why do we chant like 108? Why the 108 beats?
In Krishna consciousness, everything is related to Krishna. There are 108 gopis who we are serving. And out of that 108, there are 8 chief gopis. There are assistants. So, this realm of Golok Vrindavan, that we have to accept those moods. 108. These are different moods. And when we develop spontaneous devotional service, we have to follow in one of their groups. Because we can't loiter around without aim. We have to develop a particular taste and concentrated bhava. So when we start chanting purely, then those things will be available. Not now, but the significance is there because everything is very well planned out. Cannot be obtained haphazardly because I don't want to, start from base. Rather, I want to start from the top. If you try it, you'll fall from the top too. So go gradually and very systematically under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master and things will become secure. There are 108 gradations too. Have you seen the mala which has the smallest bead will be on the one end and the biggest bead will be on. And here is the Krishna bead. So in the Rasa Lila or serving attitude to taste the highest mellow, we approach from the smallest and then go. But then again turn back, because we can't cross him. We cannot bypass him. Right? So, chanting should be very, very meticulous. Even though it's the simplest process, but it requires so much awareness, so we can't take it as a trivial process. It is very specific. This is called japa. Japa becomes so much an intense sacrifice. Sacrifice means fire yajna. You have to become very perfect in oblations and chanting the hymns and you can perfect only one. There are 6 different perfected people in different branches were able to perform. Then and then yajna was perfect. But in Kali Yuga, this is the yajnanam japa yogyosmi sthavaranam himalaya. This japa yajna is myself. You are doing, you are chanting the holy name. You don't need a fire sacrifice to oblate, holy name. There are some Gita ashrams that I have been visiting. They are so much independent and individually crowded that they will teach Bhagavad Gita and surrendering and everything devotional. But they invented a method, a new method, that chant one chapter and every sloka should be offered in with the ghee and fire sacrifice. They don't understand. And that becomes devoid of bhakti. They become ritualistic.
without they don't have any disciplic succession, nothing, and they agree with Krishna all the way, but they do this in a disagreement, not knowing. And the same congregation, I give a class in Nigeria in the month of June, you know, before I came to Fiji. I had to go back to Nigeria. And then one Gita Ashram is there, very opulent, nice building, everything pakka. You have Radha Krishna deities also, Sitaram is also, Ganesh, Durga, everything. But they, it is specifically called Gita Ashram because they hold Bhagavad Gita and they recite nicely and the whole slokas without proper translation or anything. Gita Press, Gorakhpur, whatever they may be using. But they have conceived this, and when they chant one sloka, there goes Om Swaha. The sloka is being offered as an oblation. You know? Rather, to cultivate the spirit and invocation of what Krishna's desire is, they do Swaha. Right? So there was no bhakti. So when I gave class and gave the importance of bhakti, people were saying, so Maharaj, how can we develop bhakti? Okay? And tell them, chant Hare Krishna. I said, this is the yajna of the sacrifice, not this yajna, what you have made. Yajnanam japa yajnosmi. So a simple process has to become yajna. You know? The oblation, the fire sacrifice. So much important. But this is the sacrifice. Chant Hare Krishna itself is yajna. But properly with attention of all the senses. You can't neglect. You know?